Going to be talking about our local sheriff's problems this week. He's back in the paper again. He's been jailed in Grayson County Detention Facility, Grayson County, Kentucky. He was served with papers Friday afternoon in a civil lawsuit that's been filed on behalf of 12 individuals here in Rutherford County. John D. Slager is going to be joining me. He's here in studio with us. And Mr. Pettus Reed, Commissioner of the 8th District, I believe it is, out in Rockvale, he's going to be calling in. He's calling once again for the resignation of Sheriff Arnold, as he did back some months ago. He was the first commissioner to publicly do so. Now all commissioners are calling for the sheriff's resignations. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
You're tuned in to the PI program, Tips and Tales from licensed longtime private investigator Edwin Lee Raymer. Taking your phone calls and text messages at 615-893-1450 on the PI program.
And a little stiff upper lip for you. Edwin Lee Raymer here. John D. Slager's with us. And Commissioner Pettus Reed has said he's going to try and call in if he gets a chance. He's had a busy Sunday. But for right now, this is the PI Show with me, Edwin Lee Raymer. This broadcast is produced at the studios of WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can reach us tonight by dialing 615-893-1450. You can also send a text to that number, and Dalton will read us your question over the air if you don't want to go on. And you can send me a message at Facebook at Private Invest of Middle Tennessee Legal/Law or my own Facebook page, Ed Raymer. And you can text me, as some of you generally do, on my private line at 615-390-7219. And our email address is privateinvest@bellsouth.net. On the board tonight, as always, Mr. Dalton Barrett. Thank you, Dalton. Always doing a good job. And John D. Slager. John, how are you?
Hey, Ed. Good to see you, man.
It's good to see you.
You have lost some weight since we've been here, man.
Yeah, I'm about to blow away, nothing. I have a long way to go. We were just talking, folks. It creeps up on you.
Yeah, you're going to have to get another belt. Running out of hose.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know if I'd said anything about it on the air, but of course, from us here, congratulations. You are now a married man.
I am. Thank you.
And if Katie's listening, congratulations to her. She is a fine young woman. Ladies and gentlemen, this community, this city is very blessed to have John and Katie living here and working here.
Thank you.
And I hope you stay here a long time. Because
plan on it.
These are quality people. They come from quality stock. Believe me, we've got papers on them. Okay. And they are, and I'm glad. It's always been a pleasure. Mitch Shannon introduced me to you and your associate, Josh. And
yeah.
Josh Crane. Tell everybody right now, before we get started, how they can reach you and where you are, please.
Sure. My office is at 1819 Ward Drive. It's here in Murfreesboro. My office number is 615-848-0102. We have the email, John D. That's J-O-N-D at SlagerLaw, SlagerLaw.com. We got Facebook. I guess that's really it, but that's a million ways to get in touch with us, Monday through Friday, sure. 8 to 5.
And if you're wondering where that is, that's over off Northfield. You're basically behind one of our sponsors, Jeff Mullins, J.
Absolutely.
Mullins Jewelers. So you drive around over there, you can find them. They're there. And if they're not there, the ladies in the office will be more than happy to help you. And, excuse me, it was inevitable. The week started out. I've got newspapers here, just from the Daily News Journal alone. John was looking at them. This is Friday. Arnold remains locked up, our local sheriff. I want to explain to some of you, and to many of you I've invited over Facebook, well, why would you want us to tune in? Because this could very easily happen in any county, of course, here in Tennessee. And I'm sure many other states are designed like ours, John.
I would think a lot of at least border and joining states have similar laws and similar methods to remove
Kentucky,
an elected
Indiana,
official.
Yeah. Georgia, yeah. And it's when you have the highest ranking law enforcement official in your county, you don't just walk up and say, hey, you're fired.
No, it doesn't work that easily.
It doesn't work that, I mean,
and it's probably a good reason that that's the case, because you imagine a judge or a sheriff or someone like that who makes a decision that it may be the right decision, but it's not the popular decision. It'd be easy to just say, well, get out. We don't want you anymore.
Right. Right. And I see both sides of the coin.
Oh, sure.
We have really been put through the ringer. Commissioner Reed is going to join us here in just a few minutes, we hope. If I don't hang myself, never mind. I'll go it on. I'm trying to get my glasses on, folks. Commissioner Reed is quoted, and he's going to be joining us by phone. He said he'd be calling in. This whole thing is really an embarrassment to the county. This is nothing but a black eye as far as our county is concerned with an individual in leadership. John, I got to say, I think he's right. It's been a bad time, especially with the folks that work there.
And this thing has went on and on and on. And, of course.
Okay. I hate to cut you off. No, we're going to go to our first break. Sorry about that, John. We'll get back into it when we come back. And we're going to hear from our good friends at J. Mullins Jewelers and Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits. It's the P.I. Show with John D. Slager. Me, Ed Raymer. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes. You know, Jeff Mullins is a multi-generational family-owned jewelry store. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry, gold, diamond, and gemstone jewelry, silver jewelry, also offering a huge selection of watches from Luminex, Citizen, Seiko, Pulsar, gifts for any and all occasions. And also, expert jewelry repair by Jeff's dad, Mr. Charles Mullins. I can't tell you the number of times he's fixed watches for me. New batteries, bracelets adjusted, all of the whole nine yards. Visit their website at www.jmullinsjewelry.com, or you can go see them in person there at the store at 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Or you can give them a call at 615-962-7164. That's 615-962-7164. And again, that website is jmullinsjewelry.com. Right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts. Excellent selection of bridal jewelry. Again, gold, diamond, gemstone jewelry. Check them out.
Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits. The finest selection of wines in this county, maybe even the entire state. Did you know that Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has their own wine cellar? Their address is 3016 South Church Street here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Also known to us locals as Shelbyville Highway or Highway 231. Located in the IGA Shopping Center, phone number is 615-907-9000. Ted Robertson and his family, and we do mean family-owned. Spotlessly clean store with the friendliest and most knowledgeable staff. You know what goes with this, what wine goes with that. Call Ted and arrange a wine tasting for your office or party, and Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has got what you need. And we beg all of you, do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. And if you do drink, please drink responsibly. And don't forget to check out their website, MurfreesboroWineAndSpirits.com.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
And a little Eddie Van Halen for you to kick off the evening. Thank you very much, Dalton. Appreciate it. John, you're back with us. You were saying before we went to the break, we were talking about the situation of how a sheriff stays in office and all that.
Yeah, this is one that's really been going on a long time, all the way back to the initiation of the investigation, I guess, with the TBI or whoever began that. Seems like forever ago. And here we are now. Of course, the sheriff was on bond. Now he's had his bond revoked. Now he's being housed in a detention facility, looks like, until his trial, which is not for months to come.
February.
Yeah.
So next year.
You know, you're looking at several months that he's going to be there. And it seems like at this point he's now completely severed from the department. If he could serve before, even out on bond, it's that much more of difficulty for him whenever he's housed in a detention facility, even in another state.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, and the suit was filed here on behalf of 12 individuals. John, you were looking at this. Can you give us your opinion of what's going to happen with this? How this may play out?
Yeah, no, this is going to be
folks, that don't hold us, me or John, to anything here, because we don't know how this is going to go. By the way, the law firm Wilson Hauser and Oliver handled this case for these 12 individuals. They cannot comment on it, okay? Which is understandable.
Sure, absolutely.
I wouldn't want them commenting on it either until this thing gets going. But I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
at some point, and based on just the Daily News Journal article that I was reading, it sounds like that they have the opportunity to do something like depositions or some type of discovery, which if that would include depositions of Sheriff Arnold or any discovery process through him, that's going to be very interesting, because how does that relate if they come up with something that's positive for that case and even positive for the criminal case? Can they cooperate with the federal authorities and the federal prosecutors and turn that over? Or you know, how does that work as far as are they separate from the federal prosecutors?
Right. And could this Ouster case, could it jeopardize the federal case? I don't think so.
I think at this point, because they're set for trial, I think the federal authorities have got their case ready to go. It's unpacked. It is what it is. They know what they're doing. There's very little investigative work left to do, I would think. I think this would only help them if the Ouster suit brings forward more evidence that's either good or bad for their case. Now they know about it,
right?
As opposed to getting blindsided if it's bad
true.
At trial, or
true.
Then maybe they, if it's good for them, they learn about it faster before trial, and they can, you know, work on how to show that to the jury or to the judge.
Sure, and we all know how this goes. Once this thing gets out in the open, people may pile on the bandwagon that normally would not have.
Sure, and of course you and I have been talking, you know, this is something that's been kind of snowballing out of control for some time now, and it seems like it's gotten to the point now where it's big enough that they've got the support to do the suit, and it, you know, I'm assuming that if those 12 people have the support to file the suit, they're going to have the support to follow through with the suit. They're not just going to file it and drop it. They're going to push this thing the whole way.
With a dozen people, you can come up with a lot of extra cash there.
Sure.
In order to pay an attorney to do this.
Absolutely.
And, depositions and things of that nature. And, of course, you know, any time you deal with an elected office, someone's always going to have an axe to grind.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Sure.
And
to me, this case is in such a position that it's not a left or right Republican Democrat thing. It's just a right or wrong thing. And I think maybe that's what these people are going for. I would be curious if any of these 12 were at one time Sheriff Arnold supporters. Or voters.
May have been. I don't know. There's only one name we were talking before we went on the air that stuck out at me, and I've seen it in the paper before, but I don't know any of these individuals. Not that I know of.
Sure.
You know, maybe bump into them on the street or something of that nature. But if it's gone this far, Scott Brodin, if it's gone this far, we've all got problems, folks. And we all know, you're former law enforcement. You've
yes,
been
sir.
This. This affects these departments. It
sure.
can. It can. It does or it doesn't.
I would think in Rutherford County Sheriff's Department, that's such a huge facility that a patrol officer may not be as affected as it would be like where I was from in DeKalb County, where it's a smaller
right.
department.
Yeah.
But
right.
they're still, you know, your boss is held without bond in a detention facility awaiting a trial in a federal case. I'm sure people look at you. And think about this in context with everything else going on in our country with the shootings and things like that. There's a lot
right.
of people that are vocal either really for or really against law enforcement right now.
I know it, and that's a sad situation.
Sure.
We've all seen that. I still go back to a situation regardless of which side of the aisle you're on. Did you work county, city?
I did.
You
I was county.
County.
Yes, sir.
DeKalb County?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Where I've worked up there too. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You can't get away with anything, DeKalb.
Not without 10 people knowing about it.
That's why you're here in Rutherford County.
Absolutely.
But you know, great county, great folks, and people about the same all over. You know, and I was from a small town in Kentucky, Manitou, Kentucky, and you know, good folks up there. We had Hopkins County. Again, everybody knew everybody's business. But at this department. We've got people that I know that it's hard to say, hard to believe. I'm seeing known people that have been out there 20, 25 years.
Sure.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was getting at, Trump was having a rally back early in the spring, early in the summer, some city, wherever. He was indoors in the facility giving a speech apparently or a talk or whatever. There were people outside for the other side. And they were throwing things, articles, at the police officers. Why are you throwing things at the police officers? These ladies and gentlemen are just doing their job.
And
I mean, Trump wasn't even anywhere around.
Right.
You know,
police officers are just like any other profession, doctors, lawyers, anything else. 99.9% are there to do their job. They
right.
want to do a good job. They try to do a good job. They may make mistakes, but
they will.
They're doing
sure.
what they mean to do and what they want to do as far as a positive way.
Right.
But there are bad ones, just like there's bad anything else.
Right.
They're just very few and far between.
Well, and I don't think this incident here makes Robert Arnold necessarily a bad person. They were just making some money, it looks like. I don't think it makes a person a bad person. I don't mean sinister or anything of that nature.
If what he did was true, he is at least guilty of making bad decisions.
Right. And I'm wondering, what we've wondered about is where was the oversight? Because,
sure.
You know, in a county government, now I know there are certain things you don't need to put out to bid. I understand that. Things, $500, what's been your experience with that? Anything $500 or less you wouldn't have to put out to bid. But if you're talking about he made, what, $67,000,
$68,000,
it says, I mean, where was oversight? Who gave the go-ahead to do this and said, yeah, you can go ahead and do it? I don't believe anybody, the guys that I know, would have told him that.
And I would be curious if someone, and I would bet someone has looked back at his budgets over the years to try to figure out where did this money come from and where did it go into which fund. Because when you're talking about a budget the size of the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department, I don't know how big it is, but I'm sure it is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
You can hide $60,000 or $70,000 pretty easily, probably. I mean, we're talking about a very small percentage of a large budget. So
right.
I would be curious if someone's made that study or done that study, and I'd bet the federal government probably has in advance of their prosecution of this case.
Well, it's like we've all said many times. I've always said this. When the feds are knocking at your door and taking your computers and cell phones and your files out of your house, it's not because you didn't send them a Christmas card.
Sure. And, you know, listen.
And I don't want to ever have to go into that ballpark.
Sure. And when they come after you, I would bet generally they've got their ducks in a row. They know what they're doing. They're
sure.
not just trying to poke holes in something to see if anything's there.
No.
They've got something. They know what they're doing. And obviously in this case, it looks, you know, it doesn't look good for the sheriff. Now, granted, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. He's
Understood.
Got a defense attorney. He's got a right to put forward a defense, all the constitutional rights that anyone is entitled to.
And does not have to open his mouth.
No, absolutely
his
not.
His attorney can do that. That's the land we live in.
Absolutely. And, I'm not here to knock his legs out. I'm just here like you. I'm just saying, look, these are what is reported in the newspaper and on other websites. And this, if this is true, then it looks really bad.
Right. Well, it's been that way since its inception that this entire thing started. So I just hope we can get through this. Would you have an idea of this ouster suit, how long this would take to play out? I mean, we've never been through anything like this before.
And I've never done one of these. I can tell you when it comes to civil practice, I don't do a ton of it, but I do some. The cases you think are going to go really quick generally last forever and cost the most money, and the ones you think are going to last forever, they settle with one phone call and a cup of coffee. So I don't think this one's going to settle too quick, though. I mean, I don't know of any reason at this point. If you're Sheriff Robert Arnold, why would you say, okay, look, guys, I'm saying uncle, here's my resignation, take it.
Right.
I mean, what does he gain by that? He's sitting right now, I assume, in some detention facility in a cell, and
Grayson County, Kentucky.
And he knows he's getting a check. I think we read in the paper, $127,000
a year. That's his annual salary.
So he's going to get that divided by 52 every week, I guess, and until something else happens. So what's the incentive for him to say, look, guys, I'm out. I'm through.
Wow. I'm telling you. It's a mixed bag of tricks.
It is.
I can tell you that. What have you been into lately? Besides getting married. Swindling Katie. I don't know what line you fed her, but I mean.
I lied and told her I was rich.
You're up here at 9 o'clock at night with Edwin Lee Raymer. You're not rich, okay? I need all the help I can get, folks. And so when I'm in trouble, I call him or I'll call one of the other lawyers in town, which I'm proud to say know several of them. They're good friends. But when we come back, I got something. You're going to love this, John. Just sort of go off on it. This came from the New York Times by Charlie Savage on April 22nd of this year. The FBI says killing the man was justified, but not shooting his tire.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear this.
You're going to hear it, yeah. Two bullets hit his Infiniti's FX-37 left front tire. Six bullets struck him in the head and neck, killing him. We'll get into this when we come back. This should be good. You're listening to the P.I. Show with me. John D. Slager is good enough to join us. Dalton Barron on the board. Back with you in 2 minutes. I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart.
the pulse of our community, First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Man on the Street Report. This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you want banking in a snap, be sure and download the First National Bank app. First National Bank of Murfreesboro offers mobile banking, text banking. We also have check card fraud alerts, and we have several off-site ATM locations for you here in Murfreesboro. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC. First National Bank of Murfreesboro is proud to be the exclusive sponsor of WGNS's Man on the Street broadcast.
What are your opinions on seatbelt checkpoints?
I think it's kind of pointless because if you don't want to wear a seatbelt, I mean, it's only going to affect you. Why should we waste taxpayer dollars paying for someone to check seatbelts?
I think it's just another means of taking away freedom. In other words, let the people be responsible the best they can. If they get caught with not their seatbelt on, let them pay the consequence. But we need to keep freedom in America.
I mean, if it's a law, you know, I mean, it's good to respect it and everything. But, I mean, I don't know. It's one of them things that a good way for the government to collect money and everything.
Well, I mean, a seatbelt's going to save your life, so I mean, I don't think you should have to pay money to have checkpoints in, because ultimately, putting your seatbelt on is like you saving your life. Like, I don't know, it's your decision. You need to be responsible.
Those were your opinions, and with that, I'm Dalton Barrett, your man on the street. The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee-Ray.
Thank you, Dalton Barrett. This is the PI show. Me, Edwin Lee-Ray, John D. Slager's here. I want to read you this real quick. This came out of a Washington article by the New York Times by Charlie Savage. When Jameel Harrison, a suspected drug dealer, attempted to escape from FBI agents trying to arrest him near a Baltimore shopping center 2 years ago, agents opened fire. Two bullets hit his Infiniti's FX-37's left front tire. Six bullets struck him in the head and neck, killing him. After investigating the case, now listen to this, John, this is the state prosecutor and the Justice Department, it's not funny, I'm sniggering, I shouldn't be, Justice Department's Civil Rights Division declined to prosecute the agents. And that left the FBI Shooting Incident Review Group, a panel of officials who decide whether shootings comply with Bureau policy on the use of lethal force, and that rarely punishes agents. In 2013, the New York Times reported that of more than 150 episodes in which an agent shot another person dating back at least two decades, the group deemed everyone justified. In the case of the Baltimore shooting, however, the Bureau took the unusual step of deeming part of that case a bad shoot in agents' parlance. But the group did not fault the two agents who killed Mr. Harrison. Instead, it chastised only the agent who shot the tire, recommending that the agent be suspended for a day without pay. Ooh, he'll learn from that. According to documents obtained by the Times in a federal Freedom of Information lawsuit. What do you think about that, Counselor?
Well, the most concerning thing is that every shooting was justified.
I'm willing to bet
most of them probably are. And as former law enforcement, you know, there's definitely times they are justified. But the fact that every one of them are is a little concerning.
We have a caller on the line. Dalton, go ahead. Caller, are you there?
This is Pettis Reed, Ed.
Commissioner Reed, thank you very much for agreeing to call in. I know it's been a busy day for everyone. It has been for me and John. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Just a little tired today. Getting down towards the end of the day.
I can imagine. Commissioner Reed is the first commissioner that openly called for Sheriff Arnold to step down. And now I think, Commissioner, all the other commissioners have now joined in, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct. There was a resolution that everybody did agree to.
Tell us how you came to this. You told us here before, and will you tell the listeners how you got to this point? When you did, and this was when back in, when were you with us? April, May?
First of June.
Okay.
First of June, when this all happened. Well, what it was, you know, as a commissioner, you continually, anytime anything happens or anything occurs or whenever anybody's having a problem in your district, they can give you a call and ask to see what you can do and what your opinion is or any involvement you might have. So when all of this started happening back then and all the charges started coming forward, whatever, I started having people start calling me at home and on my cell phone and whatever.
Yes, because your number is right out there in the wide open spaces.
It is.
So you're not hiding from anyone.
It's there on the website.
Yes, it is.
It's right there. It's out there on the website. It's or if anybody ever calls me or asks me at any time, I'll be glad to give it to them or whatever, because that's what I feel like a county commissioner is there for. It's there to serve the people.
Right.
So it just got down to the point, rather than the individuals calling and asking, what are y'all going to do? Or what is the commission's going to do? It got to the point where they started saying, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And when it got down to that point, I thought it was just, you know, something I had to do.
Right.
So the only thing I knew to do in that situation was the best part or the best thing for the county and for all of us, and to get on with what we need to do, we had to just ask for the resignation. And that's what I did.
You know, I think as you told us before, you're a lifelong resident here in Rutherford County. Was it your father or grandfather? Was it Squire that they called him back then?
Yes, my grandfather, right here in the same district where I am.
Right.
I was born here. I was born in this district. My family first settled in Rutherford County in 1802.
Great,
and I'm still out here on the same road. I'm still here. They can't run us off from here, so
okay.
I'm still here.
Well, we're glad we are, and I know your constituents are. I know they're very happy with you, and well, I'm sure one or two are, but that's part of it too. John, do you have anything for Commissioner that you might think of? John Slager's here with us again, Commissioner. He might have a question too.
Uh-huh.
John,
I do. Good to hear from you again, Commissioner Reed. Quick question for you. Since the sheriff's bond has been revoked, that's been not that long, pretty new circumstances changed in this case. How has that changed, or has that changed anything from what you've been hearing from your constituents and the Rutherford County residents?
It's been pretty much the same thing. Everybody is wanting everything will return back to normal. They're wanting the sheriff's department to become more back to the employees that are there. They want them to feel comfortable when they go to work in the morning, that when they walk in that door, they feel like, you know, today we do our job and we don't have to worry about what else is going on out here as far as the news is concerned.
Right.
And I think that's something that our department has had to deal with for the past several months is, you know, when you have one individual who is the leadership, who people look upon as the leader of a department or whatever, and that one individual is causing some problems or whatever, it spills all the way down to everybody in that the department that you have there. So that's what's been going on. Everybody's been looking at them too, and what our sheriff's department is. We've got some great men and women who work there. They do a great job. They have dedicated their lives to protecting and serving the people of Rutherford County, and I don't want anything to be taken away from that.
Well, we were just talking, John and I, before you called in. I've been here only since 1980. This is probably the darkest time that I've seen in this county. With a scandal or whatever you might call it. I cannot remember off the top of my head any time that it's been this bleak, if we could put it that way. And everyone's talking about it, and everyone's got an opinion. And I'm sure you hear, you of all people, get to hear plenty of them as the day goes on, as weeks go by.
Well, sure do. And in fact, you know, it would be really nice when you walk in or somebody comes up to you, they're going to ask you, about, well, what's the newest school we're getting ready to build, or exactly what else is happening in the county, or anything else other than the first thing people walk up to me and they say,
"Oh no,
what about a sheriff?"
I know.
I'd like to have the opportunity if somebody walks up to them and say, "What a great job our sheriff's department's doing."
Right.
And just move on from there.
Right.
And that day's going to come.
Oh, it will. It will. Can you hold the line for just a couple of minutes, Commissioner? I promise you, I'll let you go after this. We've got to do a commercial, and then I've got a couple of things for you. We'll be right back. Let's listen to her. Good sponsors from J. Bellins Jewelers and Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits. Edwin Lena Reamer, John D. Slager with you. Commissioner Pettus Reed is on the line. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes. You know, Jeff Mullins is a multi-generational family-owned jewelry store. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry, gold, diamond, and gemstone jewelry, silver jewelry, also offering a huge selection of watches from Luminex, Citizen, Seiko, Pulsar, gifts for any and all occasions. And also, expert jewelry repair by Jeff's dad, Mr. Charles Mullins. I can't tell you the number of times he's fixed watches for me. New batteries, bracelets adjusted, all the whole nine yards. Visit their website at www.jmullinsjewelry.com, or you can go see them in person there at the store at 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Or you can give them a call at 615-962-7164. That's 615-962-7164. And again, that website is jmullinsjewelry.com. Right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts. Excellent selection of bridal jewelry. Again, gold, diamond, gemstone jewelry. Check them out.
Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits. The finest selection of wines in this county, maybe even the entire state. Did you know that Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has their own wine cellar? Their address is 3016 South Church Street here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Also known to us locals as Shelbyville Highway or Highway 231. Located in the IGA Shopping Center, phone number is 615-907-9000. Ted Robertson and his family, and we do mean family-owned. Spotlessly clean store with the friendliest and most knowledgeable staff. You know what goes with this, what wine goes with that. Call Ted and arrange a wine tasting for your office or party. And Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has got what you need. And we beg all of you, do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. And if you do drink, please drink responsibly. And don't forget to check out their website, MurfreesboroWineAndSpirits.com.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Reamer.
All right, and we are back. Commissioner, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. John and I were just talking. Let me ask you, with this suit, the ouster suit now that has been filed, and then with the sheriff being in jail in Grayson County, Kentucky, his bond has been revoked. Are you, you guys, when I say you guys, I'm talking about the commission, are you pretty well now in just a set and wait situation, or are there other measures you can take, or do you really know? I mean, I know you've never been in this situation before.
Well, you're talking about something that has never occurred within this county, and pretty much so, what we are, we just have to look at each measure that's coming up and see how it does affect us, affects the county. I mean, we are pretty much sit and wait, I think, in what we're doing. The main thing we're doing right now is making sure that the department works the way that it should be working, and I think I feel pretty comfortable to say that it is doing that. I do know that we got an email just this week from the mayor telling us that he and the deputy mayor had been out there and met with our chief deputy, and they had sat down and discussed what all the directions they had to go and what they had to do. Yeah, and I think make sure the department's working the way it should.
Randy Garrett has taken over, been placed in there as right. interim chief, and he is a veteran lawman as well, as I understand. So, you know, I was telling John, I think on the breaks or maybe on the air, I forget. Like I said, I've been here since 1980. There's people out there that I've known Pettis now for 20, 25 years. You know, that's a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're good people. The majority of those people are good people. I'd say all of them are good people, you know, in the administrative facility and all that. Do you have any... Are there any procedures being batted about that would hopefully prevent something like this in the future? Do you know, can there be anything put in place that would prevent a situation of this type?
Well, the only procedures that can be changed has to come at the state level. I mean, it can't be anything done here at the county.
Sure.
Because you're talking about a constitutional officer.
Right.
And that's already set by... what's done there. Now, I have heard some people discussing this, that they wanted to talk to their representatives and senators about this, whether or not something could be changed there, and whether or not this could be fixed where in the future we not do something like that. But there always has to be this thought in mind, too, that you just can't make it where just whenever somebody has a problem that all of a sudden they can look at having somebody removed from office.
John was just saying that before we went on. That is exactly right. And, you know, I don't mean to make a mountain of a molehill. I truly don't. This is the first time, to my knowledge, this has ever happened in this county and probably in many, many other counties throughout the state. I don't recall anyone. There's always going to be an issue. Somewhere in the state, we've got, what, 95 counties or something like
yes.
that. But, you know, I don't know, maybe this could be a very slippery slope if they start down that. And, you know, sometimes more legislation is not the thing. It's just let's pack up, everybody, let's take our medicine and move on. Maybe it would be better that way.
That's totally true because, you know, you have to be real careful. You're talking about something that's worked for all these years.
True.
And it has worked well.
And in many other states as well. I mean, like the state of Kentucky, Indiana, all of our other states. I'm sure most of the rules on the books apply about the same.
This is one of those laws that's a good law 99% of the time.
Right.
It's causing this process to probably go slower than most people want. But in the overall scheme of things, like the commissioner said, this has been, you know, this is the law and the way it's been for however long it's been. I'm sure well over 100 years, and it's worked well thus far.
It has. Commissioner, I want to thank you for calling in. Yep. I know it's been a busy day for you and for all of us. I do have one question I want to ask you on a little bit of history of Rutherford County. Every day I come up South Church, headed to the square, and I cross a bridge out here, and it's dedicated to E.E. Pluck Miller. Do you know who E.E. Pluck Miller was?
You know, to tell you exactly who Pluck Miller was, I can't come up with it right at the moment, but and I should be able to do that.
I was thinking if anybody could, you probably could. You are Truman Jones, because y'all been here.
Yeah, and I'd have to say right now, my head is not working that way right now.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think exactly.
But it's out there. You know where I'm talking about, and it's the green sign.
Oh, yeah.
I've wondered every time. I said,
yeah.
Who was Pluck Miller? I never could remember to call Truman. You know,
and I'm very familiar with the name right now, but to exactly tell you where he was or what he did, I can't do that right now. But if you would give me a few minutes, I might call you back and tell you.
Okay. John, you had something to say.
Yeah, one more thing, Commissioner. You had mentioned earlier, and if we look at the Daily News Journal or any media, local or statewide, this story sells because this is a juicy story, whether he's guilty or not guilty of whatever. And a lot of people overlook some of the positive things going on in Rutherford County. Can you tell us a few things that you guys, and again, like Ed, when I say you guys, the commissioners and the county mayor, some of the things you all are working on that are really positive, because Rutherford County is a great place. We just don't get to hear it as much now.
Not right now, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. And Commissioner, I'm going to have you hold the line again. We've got to go to another break. When you come back, we'll do that, and I promise I'll let you go. I know you're tired. This is the PI Show. We've been joined by Commissioner Pettus Reed. John D. Schlager's here. And Commissioner, if you hang on, I promise in a couple minutes I'll let you go. And I'll let you try to find out who E.E. Pluck Miller is. Back with you in 2 minutes. Hey, everybody. I'm Edwin Lee Raymer, owner of Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. Hope you're enjoying the show. You know, we hope you never need to use folks like us, but if you do, please feel free to give us a call at 615-390-7219. That number again is 615-390-7219. Or you're welcome to send me an email at privateinvest@bellsouth.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll get right back to the show.
This is Dave Ramsey, and I'm excited to be on From 1 to 4.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Keeping up with local news and information has never been easier. Download the WGNS News app for free in the Apple App Store and Google Play. Just search for WGNS News. Download the WGNS News app and get connected.
Gordon Ferguson, President and CEO of St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital.
When life challenges become a torrential flood, there are local doctors, nurses, and medical technicians who help you maneuver the swift waters.
St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital ER nurse Deanna McMahon. A listener was rushed to the ER with chest and arm pains. Nurse Deanna McMahon calmed the patient and admitted her quickly to the emergency room at St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital. The listener said that Nurse McMahon's positive attitude calmed her and relieved the tension and fear that was making things worse. We're saluting St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital ER nurse Deanna McMahon.
Let us know about the doctor, nurse, or medical technician who made a difference in your life. Send your Heart for Healing nomination to News Radio WGNS.
She also noted that every associate was professional, friendly, and kind.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
And we are back with Commissioner Pettus Reed. Commissioner, are you there? You hadn't gone to sleep on me yet, have you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. And John D. Schlager. John, you were asking the commissioner about some positive things, some good things that happened, because we've got tremendous growth here.
Sure. It's one of the best counties to live in Tennessee and for the country, for that matter.
Apparently, a lot of people feel that way. Yeah. How about you, Commissioner?
I think so. Of course, I'm sort of bias as far as when you ask me about Rutherford County. I mean,
sure.
That's just being an individual that was born here, and I was actually born out here on this farm where I'm at now. And this is a part of my life.
Sure it is.
And anything I do as far as Rutherford County is concerned, this is where I want to be.
Well, apparently a lot of other people want to be here too, because I think we're looking at, 100,000 to 150,000 people in the next 10 to 15 years?
Absolutely. We grow every day that people
right.
are coming in, and it's amazing. I've had people that ask me continually, said, "Well, now, where are all these people working?" Said, "So they keep coming in here, but they're not working. I just don't know where all these new places are working." What you got to understand, we've got a lot of people that come into this county that determine they want to live here, not necessarily for employment, but as a way to have their way of life, to live here, because they like the education system we have here. They like the hospitals we have here.
Right.
They just like what we have. And they may work as far away as Springfield or whatever.
Clarksville. I have people, people drive from Clarksville to come here and work at Clarksville. They live here, you know, and they make the drive every day.
Yeah.
But it is a better quality. It is a good, it's not necessarily better. I guess it is better. I mean, it's a good quality of life. You guys have done that. And I think this started years ago with Representative John Bragg. I'm sure you knew John back in the day, or knew of him.
Yeah.
And his philosophy was build good roads, good schools, and the rest of it will come together. And I think we're reaping the rewards of that type of attitude here
Rutherford County,
years later.
Rutherford County is so fortunate. There are so many rural counties that they could not build a school. If the federal government came in and examined or evaluated their schools, they'd probably shut them down for mold and other things, and they could not fix it without a major tax increase. And Rutherford County, I assume, has their physical house in order. You know, you got the new hospital. You got schools being built on every corner. There's new homes and subdivisions being built. Everything I see just riding around says this place is flourishing despite what you see on the front page.
Oh, yeah. Then we're not going to, that will pass. Commissioner, thank you so much. I know it's been a long day for you. Anything else you'd care to share with us?
Well, you were talking about what are the good things we're working on here in this county.
Sure, go ahead.
We're getting ready. Of course, I think it happened Friday that all the tax notices are being mailed out. To everybody in this county, and of course that's, you know, people don't think that's a good thing, but the thing this time around is there's not an increase in taxes that are going out.
No, there isn't.
As far as that is, and you know, as a county commission, we're sort of proud of the fact that we held everything down this time and held it back, and everybody was able to work on that. You know, there's a lot of counties around here that wasn't able to do that this time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Plus, they wasn't able to finish it on time and get it taken care of where we could get things handled in a timely manner. But you're looking at a county that is providing the best education for the children. I think we rate number two in the state. But if you'll walk into these schools and see what's going on around here, seeing the facilities that we have available, and we're changing those things daily across this county. It's just a whole lot of things that are happening as far as the education system is within Rutherford County. So there's a lot of things that go on within our government system that are good, that don't make the front page every day,
right,
and work that way. Now,
well,
one thing I have come up with on Pluck Miller,
well, you said he would know the answer when we got back.
I said that while we were to break. Go ahead.
Pluck Miller was instrumental. He was a tremendous supporter of the county fairs within Rutherford County back in the early 40s and that sort of thing. He was strong in that. He was big in the walking horse competitions and a great supporter of things within Rutherford County. So, That's one of the things he was known quite a bit for, supporting the old fairgrounds that used to be out there on Highway 231.
Okay.
And he had a lot to do with making Rutherford County what it was as far as recognition in those areas.
Well, I have just always wondered. I know it sounds crazy. I wonder, who is Pluck Miller? Because to my knowledge, he never held an elected office anywhere. You know, I've never heard that. And most people would have you see a sign or whatever, it was your name on it, and yeah, he's county commissioner for this or that or whatever. But I never known Pluck Miller. I said, who is this guy? he must have been somebody special, you know. Commissioner, thank you so much.
Yep.
You're doing a great job. And this little broadcast here, we are at your service anytime you need us. If you need to come up and have something to say, you have my name and number, you know where I'm at, and I'll be out 231 South there, out County Farm Road, okay?
John? Okay.
Thank you again, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right.
We appreciate you
Thank
so
you.
Much. Good night.
All right. Have a good night. Uh-huh.
Take
Bye.
Care. County Commissioner for Rockvale, Commissioner Pettus Reed. We appreciate him taking time to call. He's had a busy day, John. He said, I think some family issues, church activities. Like I told you earlier, for to be a day of rest, some of us don't get much rest. But, but you're right. Quality of life. I mean, you moved here from
Sure.
Sheridan County. You know, of course, could have been with the business you're in, too, probably. To
every county needs attorneys, but, Rutherford County was a place that we moved to, and glad we did. It's been great for us. I love it here.
Right. And your wife now, I keep wanting to say your girlfriend, your fiance, she's your wife now, Katie. She's going to be, we have a caller. Caller, we're going to get to you after our next break. We'll go to a break here in just a few seconds. We have a two-minute break, and we'll come back, and I promise we'll get with you. But she's going to be taking her bar exam in May?
Well,
next
she
May,
will graduate
hopefully.
In May, and then she takes the July bar. She'll find out, which I'm glad you brought that up, this Friday, October, I think it's the It's the 7th. Good luck to all those that took the bar in July. Yes, you take it the last, so. I think, Tuesday, Wednesday in July. You don't find out till about the first Friday in October. It takes that long to grade them all throughout the state. So good luck to everybody.
A long, nervous wait.
I know we'll be doing this next year. So.
Well, I'll be right there with you. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes. This is Edmund Lee Ringer of the PI Show. John D. Slager's with us. Back after this.
Here's a story about two young guys who tapped into extreme sports and are making some extreme bucks.
I'm Sean Bratton.
I'm Bob Smith.
And this is Why Didn't I Think of That? We'll be right back with a story of invention and passion.
Do you have knee or back pain? If you have Medicare or private insurance, we have great news. You may qualify right now to get a pain-relieving knee or back brace at little or no cost to you. I've used them. They work. Call the Pain Relief Hotline right now for free information.
800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. That's 800-430-9605.
Ryan Fairley and Jason Galoob noticed interest in extreme sports was growing, especially among the younger crowd.
Kids were looking for ways to push the limits.
Like my 20 sit-ups?
Oh, that's just sad, Bob. We're talking about sports involving high levels of speed and danger.
Sports that Fairley and Galoob loved, like skateboarding, surfing, snowboarding.
Fairley put a love of these passions together and came up with something he called freeline skates.
They're like skateboards cut in half.
Right. These aren't rollerblades. Each side moves independently with its own wheelbase.
You can really push the limits with these babies. Ride them like skateboards or snowboards.
But there's more maneuverability, so you can, in their words, dance like a fish on the flats and uphill.
Huh? Wow. These portable skates made a few Christmas lists.
Sales, $5.5 million.
Fairley and Galoob exemplify an axiom featured on our website, thinkofthat.net. Pursue your passions. The things you do for love can lead to a profitable future.
Passion and invention, a winning combination.
Freeline skates, for the extreme sportster in all of us.
Well, some of us, Bob.
Okay, some of us.
Now, why didn't I think of that?
Visit us at thinkofthat.net.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
And we are back. Edwin Lee Raymer, the PI Show. John D. Slager's hanging out here with me, Dalton. And we have a caller. Caller, we are on the line. Go ahead.
Okay, I just have one thing to say about Arnold.
Yes.
I don't feel like he needs to get paid. He's in jail. He's getting a meal and a cart. Let him be.
Well, we've had that. And I don't know if you take the Daily News Journal. Are you there? Okay.
Well, you know.
Oh, no, you're there. Okay. I thought you got mad and hung up, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, I'm a taxpayer.
Right.
And my money is being paid for his salary. Now, I can understand if it's going to his wife and his family. Fine.
Right.
But him getting paid, no way, Jose.
Well, in the editorial section today, that came up, and all four comments were, they agreed with you. John?
Ma'am, if I could, I want to ask you one question. You're one of these now that I assume you're for the ouster, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Been for it ever since he got elected.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my question. Has your opinion changed on this since his bond's been revoked, or has this been your thought process the whole time? But you've answered that.
Yes. He wasn't one of my favorite men.
Ma'am, thank you so much for your call, and I think all of our questions tonight, even with Commissioner Reed calling, we appreciate you listening, too, by the way. Do you listen every week, or did you just have
Every Sunday night, I listen to you.
Well, thank you so much.
And this was a good topic tonight. Well, I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much. We felt like it was important enough to share, and it, unfortunately, it's something that must be covered, and I think in the coming months, we'll all be getting some answers, finally.
All right, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Well,
okay.
She knew where she was at on this issue.
Didn't stutter, did she?
No.
I think, it's kind of like Pettis said, you know, the voters, your constituents, have a distinct way of letting you know how they feel. And I'm sure some of your clients do, too.
Sure.
No, I mean, don't.
You know. you know, I hate to say it this way, but I've not heard anyone say, hey, look, you guys should back off the sheriff. He's,
right.
You know, I think everyone agrees he's innocent until proven guilty and all that stuff. But I've not heard anyone say that, hey, look, I'm against this ouster. That he should stay in there. He, let him keep getting the check. Let him keep, as the administrative head of the sheriff's department, let him keep that position.
Right. And I think you'd be the same way, too. His family.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I had a brain lapse there. But has a wife, has two young children. This can be really heavy for them to have to go through. And you've got to feel for them. And,
absolutely.
The rest of his family as well.
Yeah,
and,
everyone involved.
You know, we're not here to kick dirt in anybody's face, folks. But these are issues we had, like the caller said, that, you know, it's she's the only thing he ought to be getting a check. Now, that's her opinion, and, you know, but... You've got to feel for those people.
You know, you look at his family, his wife, children, and anyone else, extended family, they're kind of like the deputies in this thing. They're
That's right. They're
kind of the innocent bystanders, the innocent victims in this that haven't done anything wrong. And being a police officer, I can only imagine in a county this size is extremely difficult, especially in the society we live in with everything going on over the last few months or even a couple of years with law enforcement. So for them to have this added on their shoulders, it's got to be tough.
Right. We're going to go off subject here. We were talking earlier about body cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were having some incidents across the country with officers and shootings and things. You said you would welcome a body. If you were back on the beat, you'd welcome a body cam. I always said I would.
Absolutely. As a police officer, and that was 10 years ago, I had a dash cam operating every single time I got out of my car. It didn't matter if I was getting a cup of coffee or if I was stopping a car for a traffic violation or whatever. And if they had body cams, I would have wanted one of those. I would not be a law enforcement officer in today's society without it. That body cam, that audio and video recording that's preserved, you know, it makes or breaks. It will not lie. It will tell if you did what you're supposed to do or you didn't. And if you just follow your training and are honest, it's going to save your hind end.
Sure. And everyone is going to make a mistake here or there. They're human.
Sure.
You guys are human beings. You're going to make a mistake.
That's not the standard. That's not the problem.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
People are forgiving.
Absolutely.
You know, and you go, the camera shows you made a mistake. All right. Learn from it. Let's pack up and move on.
Sure.
No one's going to hang you. I mean, but I would want one. If I'm doing something wrong, I need to know procedurally where I have messed up or where I am messing up. And if I'm doing it right, you know, bully for me, we move on.
And you know, as a criminal defense attorney, for example, in DUI cases, I tell my clients, if I can get the videotape, and often we can, we're going to look at that, and it's going to be what it is. And if you are in good shape and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then, hey, that bodes very well for us. But if you are, you know, you can't walk, you can't talk, you fall out of your car, it's, you know, beer bottles are falling out with you, then, you know, we've probably got a problem.
Right.
But it's better to know it by watching the video than when you get to court.
Well, and also those videos could be used down the road to train newer officers.
Absolutely.
To say, here's a traffic stop that went awry.
When we went through the academy, that's what we used. That's
really
exactly what you used.
Use tapes of officers that had them all across the state or across the country.
Sure.
Right. And occasionally an officer will make a mistake. That's going to happen. I don't have a problem with that. Man, you're listening to a guy that's made a bunch of them. And,
You know, if that's the standard, no one's going to put on a badge and gun because everyone's going to make a mistake. And if you're going to hold them to a perfect standard, it would just be not even within the realm of possibility.
Well, and I heard someone say something once, I said a few months back, some show I was watching. You may have heard this yourself, and I think you'll appreciate it. And I'd never heard this. Said, you don't know what it's like to be a person of color. And someone else said, you don't know what it's like to put on that police officer's uniform either. You don't know what it's like to be a police officer until you've been one.
Sure, I would
all
say
of
both
us
of
are on the outside looking in.
Sure.
You know, and it looks like, you know, well, he's got the free car, he's got the free uniform, he's got the badge and the gun, that must be a good job to have. Well, some days, most days maybe it is, but some days it's not.
And police officers, firefighters, and school teachers are some of the most overworked, underpaid people that there are.
Right.
I feel for anyone who's in law enforcement because that's a job. And I'm not knocking other jobs where you can do this, but law enforcement is not a job where, you know, when the whistle blows, you put your ink pen down, you go to the house, you don't think about it again.
No.
It just doesn't work that way for police.
John, thanks for being here. We've got 1 minute left. Less than that. Tell folks again how to get a hold of you.
Sure. John D. Slager. I'm located at 1819 Ward Drive. It's here in Murfreesboro. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Our office number is 615-848-0102. We're primarily a criminal defense firm, but we also do family law and just a general practitioner, do just about anything. So you can also email us, John D. Slager. That's J-O-N-D at Slager, S-L-A-G-E-R-L-A-W.com.
And you're in with a good friend of yours, Josh Crane.
Yep.
And another fine, competent attorney. Love to have him back up here if we ever get a chance.
Thanks for having me, Good Ed.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm always glad when you come up, and tell Katie we said hi and congratulations. For the PI Show, for John D. Slager, my name is Edmund Lee Raymer. Dalton Barrett, thank you again. Good night. We'll talk to you next Sunday.